so much for being here this morning at TPC, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
For all of our guests here this morning, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mike, and I want to be among the first to welcome you here to TPC this morning, and we are so excited to have you here.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, if you're a guest this morning, we'd like for you to take a moment and complete our connection card. And what you're going to do is you're going to send a text, TPCDQ to the number 84576. I believe that's up on the screen for you. Again, you're going to text 84576, and you're going to send in that text, TPCDQ. And when you do that, it's going to allow you to connect with us, and you're going to be able to see some event information for upcoming events that we have. You're able to submit prayer requests, and we're also going to send you a gift card in the mail. And so that's a pretty good deal there. If you just fill that out, you're going to get, I believe it's a $5 gift card in the mail. So again, we ask all of our guests to do that. Back to school prayer is coming up soon. This is a big event here for our church. We pray over our students. We pray over our teachers and administrators that work in the school system here. And that's going to be taking place August the 15th. So y'all keep that in mind. Mark it down on your calendars. August the 15th is going to be back to school prayer. And we have some good news for you. TPC has raised $6,105 for Mother's Memorial. So thank you so much for your generosity. Yes, I was going to say, give yourselves a hand, because you did that, and that is amazing. That money goes to help missionary families, helps get them appliances and things of that nature. So again, thank you so much for your generosity in helping our missionaries out in the field. We have some youth coming up to help me with the next set of announcements, so you know who you are. So go ahead and come forward at this time. And what I'd like to let you know is TPC has merchandise now available. We have some pretty cool stuff online. We got some t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs. I believe we have some phone cases and more than that. And you can order that through our website. Oh, I'm going to scoot me to the side here. And you can order that at www.shoptpcdq.com. And so what they're going to do right now is we're going to give away 6 t-shirts, and they're going to slingshot these things out here for you. And so I'm going to hand this over to him and let them get to shooting if I don't fall off the platform here. All right, let her rip, Tater Chips. Oh, strike one.
Try it again. Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Sister Jude got her a t-shirt. Strike two.
Just throw it.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Toss it. There you go. Oh, yeah. Stronger arm than a slingshot.
There you go.
All right. Thank y'all for y'all's help with that. And just so you know, we're not making a whole lot off of these orders. The little bit that we do make, just so you know, it's a small amount of profit. All that is going into our build fund. So again, you go to shoptpcdq.com, get you some pretty cool t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, phone cases, things like that. And again, any profits that we make are going to be going to the build fund. All right, if our ushers have come forward at this time, we're getting ready to receive our offering. And I'd like to let all of our guests know that if you're a guest here, we're not asking you to give a dime this morning, because we are here to serve you. And for all of our members that are here, we have different ways for you to give. You can give by check, by cash, or if you're like me and you don't carry any of those things on you, you can give online through the app, through the website at tpcdq.church. And before we receive our offering, we have some prayer requests for you this morning. And I believe they're going to put those names on the screen. We'd like to remember Jerry LeBron, Billie Jean Brown, Brenna Clark Davis, Coach Michael Schultz, Sister Betty Neely, and if I'm not mistaken, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Betty Neely had a fall, and I think one thing led to another, and now she's on hospice care. And so let's remember her. Sister Dora Spike, Sister Iris Reshort, Gail and Jim Kendall, Sister Boykin, Sherry Lamb, and Tommy Carlin. So let's remember these needs this morning. So before we receive our offering, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we bring these needs before you this morning. And God, as we look in your word, we see the many mighty miracles that you worked, Lord, the healings that took place. And God, we know that there's resurrection power flowing through our veins this morning. And God, I pray that that idea, that truth comes alive in each and every one of us. And God, that it comes alive in me, because I need to get a hold of that truth as well. And Lord, we believe that the miraculous is going to happen through TPC. And I pray that this morning we see the first fruits of that in the people that we bring before you, Lord. We ask this and we believe it in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's good to see all of you. Thank all of you for being here. I hope you had a good week. And if you didn't, just remember it came to pass.
Amen.
Amen. To all of our guests, thank you for being here. I've been a guest in a few churches, and sometimes you feel a little awkward, and we don't want you to feel that way. We want you to feel right at home. We're glad that you're here, and we thank you for being here. If you have your Bibles this morning, you'd like to go to the book of 1 John. That's in the back of your Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Go to 1st John chapter 4. And those of you that are watching online, thank you for joining us. And all of you Hope House guys, we miss you this morning. Shout out to you guys. All of you that are with us online, thank you for being a part of that. And I've got a little bit of humor for you this morning as you're finding 1st John. So there was this couple, and this couple invited their pastor over for dinner. So he came over for dinner, and he ate dinner. And when he was done and he left, the wife looked at the husband and says, "I think our pastor stole my spoon." And she just kind of got a little freaked out about it. Well, about a year later, she invited the pastor back to come have dinner with them again. And she just couldn't resist herself. It just been eating on her for a year. She said, "Pastor, I want to know something. Did you steal my spoon?" And he replied, he said, "No, I put it in your Bible." Yeah. I told Janet my humor this morning. She's like, "Wayne, we ought to do that." Are you ready for the word of the Lord? If you didn't bring your Bible, I'd encourage you to. But if you didn't, it's up on the screen. 1 John 4 and 7. You ready? Here we go. King James Version. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Say this with me. "For God is love." Everybody, it's more fun when we say it together. "For God is love." Say it again. "For God is love." I'm going to talk this morning for a few minutes on a desperate need. A desperate need. Let's pray. Father, for the next few minutes, Lord, would you just anoint my mind and my mouth to help me to speak into the heart of this assembly. And Lord, I pray that we would be active in listening to receive your word. Thank you for all of our guests, every member that is present, everyone watching online. We just, Lord, ask God your rich anointing rest upon each of us in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. What I don't want you to do this morning, please, is to take this message and to shovel it to the person behind you. Oh, they need that. Oh, my goodness. So-and-so should have been here.
You're right. Come on.
Would you just receive it this morning? Say, "I'll receive it."
I'll receive it.
I'm talking to all of us, myself included. We are in desperate need to be loved. There is something inside every one of us that screams to be loved. Now, I know there's some tough folks here, and especially men, you know, "I don't need that." But I'm going to tell you, you may act tough, but the fact of the matter is, I don't care how tough you act. God put it innate within the toughest person alive. They still need love. Amen. We all need love. You know, most Christians, I believe, as I have really allowed this to begin to be experienced in my life, as I've marinated on this for weeks and months, here's what I really do believe. I believe that most Christians intellectually know that God loves them. I think that very few Christians have ever experienced the love of God. I think intellectually, if I were to ask you, "Hey man, do you know God loves you?" "Oh yeah, I know God loves me." I don't think experientially that we have really know and have truly felt the love of God. It's a desperate need in all of us. Can I get a witness? I think that most Christians would probably look at me this morning and say, man, a message on God's love is inspirational, makes me feel good, but I don't think that God's love is truly transformational. In other words, I don't really believe that God's love has the ability to change my life. Here's what Jeremiah 31 and 3 says. The Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen. In other words, it never ends. It just keeps going. And you know, as I have really been thinking about this subject for months now, I think that most of us feel like that we don't love God enough. Man, if we just love God more, after dissecting it, I don't know that that's really our problem. I'm really coming around to the belief more and more that we really need a revelation of how much God loves us. How much that God loves us. Our greatest need, most of us, especially us men, we think that our greatest need is money. If I had more money, or again, this is men, if I had more success, that's really what I need. Or if, you know, I could just go on this vacation and I had just some more pleasure in my life. Man, that's what I need. I need more pleasure, more money. But I don't really believe that that's what we need. I don't think that at the heart of us, we're looking for fame or another job. What we desperately need is to be loved. Amen. And this morning, I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a sexual love. I am talking about a love that has to be experienced from God. And because we don't really, even as Christians, experience God's love, and we desperately need love, all of us do, here's what I find us doing. We disguise our desperate need for love in things like our performance. Our performance. And it goes like this. When we achieve and we perform, then there's going to be some people in our life that's going to come by and say, man, look at what they accomplished. Man, look at what they did. And I'm speaking from experience. I have been like a little Labrador retriever that was almost begging for somebody to come and pat me on the head and give me affirmation and say, wow, what a great message, Pastor. Wow, you're a great pastor. And we want these words of affirmation based off of our performance. And what the real need is we're desperately needing love, but we disguise it in our performance.
Come on, amen.
Here's another way that we disguise our desperate need for love. We put all kind of bumper stickers on our cars about our kids, and I'm not against bumper stickers. But my child is a star at ABC school, and my child is this, and my child's done that, and not against any of that, right? But when we start living vicariously through our kids to get affirmation, it's really a disguise that somehow we're desperately looking for somebody to approve us, affirm us. We get a hot, you know, sister on our side, and it's like, whoo, look at him. He must really be something to be able to get her. And it's all in the hopes of being affirmed, because I must be really good if I can get her. Are you with me?
Amen.
Then what we do is, believe it or not, I have seen some people seek for love through pity. Now, this has never been my home. I've never really had a problem with this, but I have seen people talk so down about themselves and so bad about how things are that finally somebody gets up and comes over and starts patting this person on the back. It's like, well, God bless you, sister, and you just hang in there, and you know what? It's going to get better, and it's not that bad, and you're such a good person. And believe it or not, people will actually use pity as a way of getting affirmation and love. Or we seek it through prestige or position. And it goes like this. Man, if I could just become the manager, or if I could just be the CEO, if I could climb this rung of the ladder, and if I could get this corner office, then man, people would really, you know, think that I am valuable. Sometimes we seek love through personal contact, physical contact, and we think that's love. I don't want to step across a boundary here, but if you just think just a minute, a woman of the night, a lady of the night that's in that profession, if physical contact really gave us the love we needed, then she or he or whomever would just be filled with love. But if you've done any research on any of that, you will know that most people in that profession are extremely insecure, very down on themselves, and don't feel love at all because they feel so cheap. It's deeper, brothers and sisters, than just a physical contact. We seek love disguised in pleasure. Man, if I could go on that vacation, or if I could drive that car, if I could live in that house. Can I tell all of us that all of that is just temporary love?
Come on, come on.
Can I say it again? All of that that I just named is all temporary forms of love. And when we seek after these temporary forms of love, it creates an insatiable thirst in us for more.
That's right. Come on.
And when our child hits 2 home runs, we want our child to hit 5 home runs. And when we get this, we want that.
Right.
And when we get Jennifer Aniston, we want Angelina Jolie. And when we get Brad Pitt, then we want whomever. Never satisfied. Always looking for love disguised in something that will never, ever satisfy us.
Amen. Come on.
And now here is the difference, brothers and sisters, between that temporary love and God's love. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I believe it is verse 18. This is Paul writing. He says these words. I pray, this is the New Living Translation. Paul says, I pray that you may be able to feel, see that? Feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to, notice this word, experience his love for yourself. Those two words that are in parentheses, that word feel and experience. Many of us have heard that God's love is long enough that it will last forever. We've heard that God's love is wide enough that it can include everybody. That God's love is deep enough that it can go into our deepest pain, our deepest hurt, our deepest despair. We've heard that God's love is so high that literally nothing can get over it. But my question to every one of us here this morning, and to those of you listening, here's my question. Have you really ever experienced and felt God's love? I'm going to take a sidebar. I do believe one of the reasons why that God has brought us the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues is because there is a feeling that comes with that. There is an experience that comes with that. That as an 8-year-old child in Texas, I still remember that feeling and that experience. And you say, well, as Christians, we shouldn't be emotional. And I get that to an extent. But it is amazing to me that the reason why people drink is because they want to get a feeling. And the reason why people get high is they want to get a feeling. And the reason why they have sexual contact is because they want a feeling. But then they come to us Pentecostals and ask us to sit like Stoics on a pew because we shouldn't be emotional. I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, the substitutes that you are seeking is because you are looking for a feeling. You are looking for an experience. You are wanting something to reach out and grab you and make you feel a certain way. Can I preach just a minute? I do believe that the deeper reason for God's experience is so that when He wraps you up in His love and you feel that, you know, man, I never felt anything like this. I've had drug addicts tell me, Pastor, I've been on some highs, but I've never experienced a high like this. Are you with me? Have you, here's my question, and I'm not going to hurry this morning. Have you, sweet people, have you really experienced and felt the love of God in your own life? Amen. Have you experienced God's love on your good days? But have you experienced God's love on your really, really, really bad days? 1 John 4 tells us, God is love. He's not possessions. He's not position. He is love. And He wants you to experience that love because it's deeper than physical affection. It's greater than pleasure. A new car smell will leave you in 90 days. God won't. We've seen hurricanes that have destroyed homes right here in De Quincy. But God's love cannot be destroyed. Amen. Cannot. Amen. I try to tell Molly, Molly, just remember, sweetheart, that Mr. Handsome is eventually going to get wrinkles and he's going to lose his hair. And just remember, guys, that little sweet chick that won the beauty contest, if God tarries, she gonna get older. Beauty does fade. But God's love never, ever gets wrinkles and it never fades. Hallelujah. God's love is gonna be here today, it's gonna be here tomorrow, and it's gonna last for an eternity. Now I want to get very practical with you. I try to be as open, as transparent with you as I possibly can be. So here's the practical side of this. When it comes to me personally, the ways that I disguise my need for love is this. I'm a people pleaser. I have been pretty much all of my life. And here's what it looks like. When I do stuff, then they'll be happy with me, right? They'll love me. And if I do this and if I perform well, then you're going to love me. Here's what I'm coming into the revelation of, and it's taken me so long. That when that is really my disguise for love, it all boils down to this, my misunderstanding of God's love.
Come on, you're right.
There's other ways that I disguise my need for love. I'm not going to get into that, but here's what I know. When we disguise our need for love, it always comes down to a misunderstanding of God's love for us. As your pastor, it's taken me a long time to really experience the love of God. Now, I started to get a glimpse of it when we had Trey and when we had Molly. Because I think that one way that you can really kind of start to get a glimpse of God's love is to have children. Amen. And that's, I started to get a glimpse of it. But can I tell you this? Take a parent's love and times it by infinity. And now you're just starting to scratch the surface of how much God loves you. God loves you. I want you to look at the most famous psalm in all of the Bible. They're going to put it up on the screen. Psalm 23. Here it is, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I will tell you again in my transparency, I have grown in my adult life, and very few times have I ever in my adult life been really satisfied and content. I have asked the Lord through prayer, and I've told you this, God, show me things about myself that I don't see. And the Lord has showed me some things about myself, and it hasn't been pretty. And one of those is that I'm rarely, if ever, satisfied or content with anything. So what it has caused me to do, it has caused me to reach for things to show that if I have this, or if I go there, or if I do this, then now I'm valuable, and you will think that I am valuable. And God, for the last few months, has been leading me and guiding me and showing me that I know now that when we get our arms around God's love, we don't need our arms around possessions, or pleasures, or prestige, or performance. Because God loves us, and listen, He knows us. He knew every sin you were ever going to commit before you were ever born, and yet He chose you. He accepted you, and He loves you. He knew all of your faults, all of your flaws, all of your failures, all of your idiosyncrasies, all of your quirks and quacks. He knows all of it, and yet He still loves you. Listen, it wasn't God that was lost, and you found Him. God's never been lost. We were lost and He found us. It was God's long arm that reached down and said, I love you. In all of that filth and all of your disguises and all of that junk you're in, I love you. I accept you. I approve of you. I want you in my family. I don't think that we've got a revelation of how much God loves us. Come on, let's give God some praise in this house this morning. Here's what I mean by God loving us. Let me break it down for you. How many of you parents have ever gone to a ball game, or you've gone to a Christmas play or something like that with a bunch of kids, and you were in the stands or you were in the church, and all of a sudden you had this video camera or your phone, and there's kids all around your kid, right? But what you did was, is all those kids are nice, but you took your phone and you zoomed in on your child. How many's ever done that? Okay? All the other little kids, they look cute. You love all them, right? But what you wanted to do, is that you? That's me. Yeah. I'd zoom in on Molly or zoom in on Trey. I love all of your kids. But still. And see, we don't get the revelation that that's what God does to each and every one of us. He zooms in on us. because he loves us. And we think, well, if we were this, God would love us more. And if we did this, God would love us more. And if we did this, God would love us. And God just keeps zooming in on us. I love you because you're my child. You don't have to impress me. You don't have to hit another home run to make me like you more. I love you. You are my child. Can I get a witness? Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 7. This is in the Living Bible. I love how it says, he is always thinking about you. Always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. You say, Pastor, why is this a big deal? Because for the whole month of July, we've designated it as Find Freedom Month. When you get the revelation of how much God loves you, it's a big deal. You know why? Because now you find total freedom. You're free now from needing people to come and pat you on the head like a little puppy and say, good job, Pastor. You're free from needing to drive this car because this makes you look like you're somebody. You're free from needing to do this or go there or have this or be this so that you get respect and valued and loved. You understand that, listen, I want you to like me. I like you. But at the end of the day, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. If God loves me, and I know that he does, and my relationship with him is good, then you may not like me, but God loves me. And at the end of the day, it's going to be the Lord that's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on, somebody, and give God some praise in here. See, when you get the revelation of how much God loves you, you don't have to reach for all this stuff to make you feel valuable. God loves you. He knows you. He knew every sin you were ever going to commit, and he still loves you. I read a story about a pastor. I thought it was really cute. I want to throw it in here. And this pastor, I think he was like at a little fair or something. I'm not sure. And he was at this fair, and this little toddler was in this, stroller. And he noticed this little toddler in the stroller, and he's making faces at this pastor. Like, now he's doing all these faces, and his pastor's looking at him. Oh, it's funny, you know. And then he'll do another face, and the pastor's, oh, it's cute. And man, he'll make another face, and the pastor's like, what is up with this kid, man? This kid's going crazy. And he starts looking right there by the stroller, and he realizes why this kid can act up and cut up and do all this stuff he's doing. Because his daddy's built like the Incredible Hulk. So it dawns on him. The reason why this kid can make all of these faces and be this stupid and crazy is because he knows who his daddy is. And he knows whatever he gets himself into, his daddy can get him out. I got to thinking about that. Man, what would happen if we would stop focusing on our fears and start focusing on my Heavenly Father? It don't matter what anybody else does. I know my Heavenly Father loves me. I know that he's crazy about me. I know that he went to Calvary for me. I know that he loves me with the love that I can't even fathom. So God, help me to quit focusing on what I'm not and start focusing on what I am. Help me, oh God, to quit reaching for stuff that will never, ever, ever satisfy me. And just fill me, God, with your love. Amen. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. I have to remind myself that I'm not God's employee. And he's not grading me on my performance. I'm not going to get deep into this, but I've really dealt with a lot of rejection in my life. And having dealt with rejection, I was looking for someone to validate me. And I found myself reaching for other ministers to validate me. And I found myself wanting to preach certain meetings so I could get that validation. And some of you here this morning, yours is not ministry related, but it's parents related. It's boss related. It's friends related. Because you're always looking for somebody to validate you. And one day I read something that says this from a Max Lucado book, and it really stunned me. Said this words, "You'll stop seeking the applause of men if you ever hear the applause of heaven." Come on. Because for so long, I just sought the applause of men. And I've really been meditating on this whole revelation of God loving me. You know, it's really hard for there to be intimacy when the husband's walking out the front door saying, "Babe, I love you." And the wife's walking out the back door saying, "Sweetie, have a great day." That's all nice. It's all sweet. It's all good. But it's really hard for there to be intimacy in 2 minutes. I understand intimacy means one thing to a lady. It means another thing to a man. But brothers and sisters, I'm just here to tell you that I think this is the way we treat God. Come on. Hey, God, it's Monday. Lord, I'm really praying for a good week. I need a good day. And would you just protect my family? And Lord, I wish I had more time, but hey, I know, you know, God, I love you. And I've been thinking about Eden. What was Eden? Eden was a place of perfection. It was a perfect environment with perfect kids. There was absolutely nothing wrong. What was God thinking? What was he wanting? And I tell you what he was wanting. This blows my mind. He was wanting fellowship with his kids. Come on, come on. He made everything perfect so they wouldn't really have to be distracted by too much and be focused on too much. All they would really have to focus on is just fellowshipping with their Heavenly Father. And brothers and sisters, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to admit it, and I don't either. But we run in, and we think that prayer is saying, "God, bless me. Lord, help Sister Iris and touch Billy Joe. And God, help my pastor and our missionaries." And off we go. I'm going to tell you, in the last little while, I have really changed the way that I am praying. It's more meditation, and it's just more, "God, you know what? I feel myself reaching for certain things. Those are trigger points in my life. And when I start feeling myself reaching for those, I know it's disguised because I'm wanting love. So Lord, instead of me reaching for that, I'm going to just be right here. And I need you to love me today." See, the scripture, here's what it says. Don't run and know that I am God. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I really do wish I had an hour this morning, not just to keep you long, but just to let you know that when you get still, I've just been saying, "God, I need you to love me in all of my rejection, all of my pain, all of my heartache and my heartbreak, because I know if you don't fill me with your love, I'm going to reach for a substitute every time."
You're right. Good work.
Can I keep preaching? Here's what Revelation 8:35 says. Nothing This is the New Living Translation. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Amen. I'm going to wrap this up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, everyone in this room, stay with me. I want you to picture your life as a basket. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
And the more you experience God's love, the less you fill your basket with other stuff. Here's the question I want to ask you. Have you been self-aware enough that you know what your triggers are?
Come on.
What do you mean, Pastor? Some of you, your trigger may be when you're really wanting love, you start watching more TV than you usually do. When you're really wanting love, you stay on the internet longer or you spend more money in shopping. You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. When we're really wanting God's love, we always reach for a substitute if we don't receive the real. Now, your triggers may be different than mine, but you need to be aware of those triggers. You know why? Here's why. Because sin destroyed fellowship. It happened in the garden. And ever since that sin destroyed fellowship, man has been reaching for other things to fill his basket.
Amen.
I've just been making up in my mind lately. I don't want to fill my basket with fool's gold.
Come on. Think about it.
Can I say it again? I don't want to fill my basket with fool's gold. It's shiny and it looks good, but it's no value.
Good word. That's good.
People are so funny. I've had people say to me, oh, Pastor, that house ain't no big deal, and that car ain't no big deal. And really, hey, my kids' ball game's no big deal. And I don't say it, but what I want to say is then why are you killing yourself to get all that?
Come on.
And why are you willing to miss church to get all that if it's really not that big of a deal? And here's what I found out. Here's what I found out. Whatever we can say, here's what I want to tell people. What you're doing is screaming so loudly, I can't even hear what you're saying. Because here's what I've learned. Whatever you invest your time in is really what you love.
Come on, think about it. That's right.
And the reason why it's easier to reach for a car or a hot chick or a handsome hunk or reach for this or reach for that is because I can point to that and say, that's what makes me valuable. I live on this street in this coveted neighborhood and my kids go to this private school. Hoo-hoo-hoo. It's hard for me to get still and say, God, that's really a disguise.
That's right.
What I really need to know is how much you love me.
Amen. Good word.
So that I don't fill my basket with all of these substitutes. Come on now.
Right.
I want to fill my basket with his word.
That's right.
Come on. I want to fill my basket with good, wholesome music. I want to fill it with worship and thanksgiving.
Right.
Let me fill it, Lord, with prayer and your presence. Because intimacy, brothers and sisters, takes time. And it's amazing to me how we have 4 hours for Facebook, but 5 minutes for God. And we're more concerned about what so-and-so's got, and Instagram and Snapchat and where they're at and what they're doing. And all that does, if you're not careful, it can breed covetousness in you. We all have a desperate need. And here's the deal. I'm going to get very open with you. Here's the deal. If we don't fill our basket with his word and his presence, notice the scripture says in his presence, there's fullness of joy.
That's right.
So if we don't fill our basket with him, guess what we're going to fill it with? Y'all hang on. Put your seatbelt on. We're going to fill it with possessions and power and sex and weed and alcohol and nude pics and stuff that we can taste, touch, feel, and see, all in the name of love. Because everyone in this room, including me, our greatest need is to be loved. and we disguise it as all of this other stuff that we're trying to bring into our life to show that we're valuable. Brothers and sisters, I did not come here this morning to condemn any of you. That is not my intent. My intent is to challenge all of us to really begin to take inventory of our life. That's my intent. I grew up, I love my dad, I love my mom, I love, not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm just telling you the truth. I grew up in a very legalistic background. You better not do this and you better not do that. And if you do this and you don't do that, and if you don't do this and you do that, then I'm going to make God happier. And I'm wrapping this up. But here's what I've learned. I can't make God any happier. I can't. Y'all grew, many of you grew up like I did. You can't make God any happier. In other words, when you do real good, God doesn't sit up there like Santa and get a belly laugh. Look how good they're doing. And then when you do bad, he just cusses. Oh my God, can you believe that? I can't believe. Oh, here they go again. Dear God, that kid's so stupid. Been asking the Lord, Lord, why is it taking me so long to realize that nothing I can do can make you any happier, nothing I do any less is going to make you angrier, because God is love. His love is not based off of my performance. God is love. Okay, now I don't want to be misconstrued, so I'm going to need to take just a minute so everybody understands what I'm saying. Does it grieve God when we sin? Sure, it grieves God when we sin. But why does it grieve God when we sin? Because we're going to fill our basket up with substitutes. And we're going to fill our basket up with lesser gods that take heroes and make zeros out of them. But God is always just the opposite. He takes zeros and makes heroes. See, God never gets involved with you to decrease you. He always gets involved with you to increase you. But anytime the devil gets involved with you, it is to bring you down. It is to keep you on hooked on substitutes. So this morning, if some of you are filling your basket with junk, you're not hurting God. I'm going to be just very open with you. Some of you are drinking. I'm not here to judge you. I know some of you are. I know who you are. The Lord showed me a man drinking. Showed it to me. I know who you are. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not. It's not my intent. What I know is that you're looking for something. And alcohol's not hurting God. Alcohol's hurting you. I know there's people, I know, I don't need to tell you all I know. Some of you are looking for love in all the wrong places. I know who you are. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. And guess what? You're not hurting God. God's not up there with stomach issues because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're not hurting him. You know who you're hurting? You're hurting yourself, and you're hurting your marriage, and you're going to hurt your kids.
Yeah, you're right. Come on.
Because you're filling your basket full of substitutes that can never satisfy you. And it's an insatiable thirst.
You're right. Come on.
So you had to decide, am I going to fill this with alcohol? Am I going to fill it with weed, sex, nude pictures, porn? Am I going to fill it with gambling? You're going to fill it with something, because nature abhors a vacuum. And God puts a vacuum in every one of you. And then through sin, what we do is we reach for the substitute instead of God's love.
Right. Good work. Come on.
And it's a desperate need in every one of us. I'm trying to close. But I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. Your wife may forgive you as a husband because you flirt. She may forgive you, right? But here's the thing. Hopefully you love your wife so much that you don't want to flirt because it would hurt her.
That's right. Come on.
I want to get to the place in my own life that I love him so much that I don't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
And I don't want my lust to be so strong in me that I'm willing to hurt others to try to fill my basket. And we've been afraid to preach grace because we thought if we preach grace, you would see it as a license to sin. It's no more a license to sin than if a woman forgives her husband for flirting, that gives him a license. But you get to a place, hopefully in your walk with God, that God, I don't want this because if I reach for that, that would hurt you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I don't want to do anything to hurt the anointed on my life.
That's right. Good word. Right. That's
I haven't come here, sweet people. God is my witness to condemn you. I come here to share revelation from a transparent heart, to tell you, as your pastor, most of my life, I have filled it up with substitutes. Saved, very discontent and not satisfied. Okay, Pastor, what are you doing now? Here's what I'm doing. Very practical. I got in a room this morning and I just got still. Here's what I did. And I just said, Lord, would you love me? And would you love on me today? So that when I get to TPC, your love can just flow out of me. Would you fill me, God, in all of my brokenness? Would you just fill me with your love so that I can experience it? And if I'm lying, I'm dying. The presence of the Lord came in that room this morning and held me close and reminded me that everything I need is in him. Oh, Pastor, serious? Y'all, yes, I got to get in a car this morning and come to church. And yes, I thank God for my home. Don't take it to the extreme. That's not what I'm saying. I need clothes to wear. And what I'm saying is when we start reaching for that, to say we're valuable more than filling our basket with him. Okay, here's my last statement and I'm done. Thank you. You have been very kind to me this morning. But when it's all said and done, think about this and I'm done. When it's all said and done, right? And we're laying you to rest. You ain't taking any of that with you. And then you're going to have to spend your eternity based off of what did I fill my basket up with? Because if you took a 100-yard rope and that 100-yard rope represented your life, it'd be the last inch of it that you could paint red versus the 100 yards that's eternity. And we're investing all of this time and all of this resources and money to try to get people to think good of us, that we're respected and valued and loved. And you're going to invest a billion years in eternity. And it's not going to be based off of what you drove or what you wore.
That's right.
It's going to be based off of the only thing that we do for Christ is what's going to last.
Amen.
Would you stand with me this morning? I'm asking you and I'm challenging you this beautiful August 1st. What you filling your basket up with? Jesus, it's taken me a long time to get here, but I can't tell you how thankful that I am for your faithfulness. What you started out with was Eden because you wanted fellowship, and what you're going to end up with is Eden because you want fellowship. So, Father, I pray today all of your sweet people are filling their lives with substitute. Help them to be open to experience, God, your love. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you need to go, I totally get it. I understand. I've kept you for 52 minutes. That's a long time. But if you got just a centimeter of what was said today, and it resonated with you, this doesn't mean you're a sinner. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means a little bit of this message resonated with you. Would you step out from where you are right now? Come on, keep coming. Hey, if you got to go, I understand. But if you don't have to go, we don't have service tonight. Come on, come up to this front. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to think you're a sinner. Come on. Here's what I want us to do. Would you start talking to God and ask God to help you? To empty everything out of your heart that is fool's gold. Shiny, but no value. Come on. Come on, I know it hurts to admit it. I know it hurts to get self-aware and be so self-aware that you admit it. But would you do it this morning? Would you just lift up your head and your hearts and your hands and say, God, here's my heart. I don't want it to be filled with really anything but your love, your presence, your joy, your word, your peace. God's love is more than inspirational. God's love is transforming. God's love will change your life. Put your little basket up there. Come on, Pentecostal. Put your little basket up there and say, God, fill me. Fill all of my rejection and hurt and pain and bitterness. Fill me, oh God. Transform me with the revelation. expression of your love. The other day, y'all, at the expense of sounding like a mystic, I'm going to tell you this. Seriously, if you got to go, you can go, but I want to try to help somebody. I believe that every grief should be I believe that every grief, every loss should be grieved. Every loss in our life should be grieved. Do you have Bible for that? Yep, I do. When Moses died, the Lord told the children of Israel, grieve over Moses for the next 30 days or 40 days. And we're like, God, have mercy. How long can you grieve? 40 days over Moses? That's what the Lord said. Grieve over Moses for 30 or 40 days. Every loss should be grieved, and we don't. We suck it up. Suck it up, buttercup. Get on with it. I hear music and something's playing and I. Okay, that's fine. Can y'all shut that door for me, please? Thank you. One day, this just happened about a month or two ago. I was by myself in our home. Molly and everybody was gone. And I put this particular song on. And literally for 2 hours, I wept and I wept and I wept and wept for 2 hours. And everything that my little mind could remember, I put it out there. And I said, God, I need healing for this. This and this. And God, I'm grieving over this, and I'm taking this to you, and I'm bringing this to you. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. For 2 hours, I wept my heart out. And this song just kept playing over and over. I had it on my phone, kept playing over and over. And after a while, after just for 2 hours, I was tired. I was almost exhausted. And I sat in my chair. Nobody there. And all of a sudden, the peace of God came upon me. Like I have never felt in all of my life. And I will never, ever, ever forget that day. And I'm going to just tell you something. When you let God love on you and give you His peace, it'll change you. It will literally transform you. And some of you sweet people need to go back to an altar and grieve over the abuse, over the loss, over the pain, over the hurt, over what you should have had but didn't have. You need to give yourself permission to grieve it. Because if you don't grieve it in a healthy way, it's going to come out in an unhealthy way. And you're going to start trying to fill your little basket up with substitutes. But instead, when you let God fill you with His peace and His joy, it reminds me of the old song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Father, I cannot ever thank you enough for your faithfulness. You have been so faithful. When I was living so shallow and so surface and so materialistic, you just kept loving me. Kept working this process of sanctification till I could come into a revelation of the transformation of your love. God, I thank you for your sweet people. I pray that this word will resonate with someone and someone will grab a hold of it. And that it would change their life. I love you, Lord. You are my darling. Thank you. You know why you're uncomfortable right now? Because you're not used to being still more than 5 minutes. It's hard to let somebody love on you when you're running. Some of you sweet, sweet people are just like me. You've been living in the urgent. Gotta go here. Gotta get this. Gotta do this. You're living in the urgent. You're not living in the important. The important is get still and know that I am God and I love you. Nothing you can do is going to make me love you more. And nothing you do is going to make me love you less. I love you. Some of you battle with bad anxiety. You got yourself so ramped up, living in the urgent, always anxious. Jesus was never anxious. He never was in a hurry. And He changed the world. Kelly, I want us to just end with this song, "Lord, Prepare Me." to be a sanctuary. I love you. God, let your love flow out of me. Have a good voice, but he loves you. He loves when you sing to him. Have a great day. I love you so much.